Welcome to our time together. You have no idea how difficult it is to keep a straight face when Seth is running the equipment. Today is really a special day because we are sitting here in the second floor of the Sky Family Lodge with our Bible Institute students here with us. It's so great, and we've been having really a good time in the Lord together. It's such a privilege just to spend time with God. It's so wonderful to be able to actually have your schedule cleared so that your day is devoted to actually spending time with God. That's a great thing, isn't it? Yeah, that's great. So we have a good word today. And one thing that we're going to do periodically is to just talk about the fellowship of the unashamed and encourage people to become part of it, actually to become part of the fellowship of the unashamed, because it's a very effective tool and it's very encouraging for people. So I want to reiterate something that we brought up last January, and I'll do it probably once or twice a year so that we can remind people of what we stand for, who we are, what are the benefits of aligning yourself with this portion of God's work. So let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We just so praise you for your grace toward us. And Lord, I thank you for each one who has tuned in today, and pray that your spirit will quicken each one, Lord, to a lively walk with you, to a lively relationship with you. Lord, that you will uphold them and sustain them and be a shield and a defender to them, a strong tower. Lord, that the enemy will not prevail against them. For Lord Jesus, you said of those that the Father gives to you, you will not lose one. And so I pray today for each person who is listening, wherever they are in the world, I pray that your spirit would quicken them and indwell them and strengthen them. I pray that you would also fill them with your joy and with your peace and with your victory. I pray, Lord, that you would speak this day, because if I speak, it will be meaningless and it won't do any good. But if you speak, Lord God, you will cause us to be excited about walking closer to you. So I pray, Lord God, that you would break the bread of heaven and hand it to us, and that we would be faithful to distribute it, Lord. And we praise you for this time, and I pray that each person who is listening would be greatly enriched and challenged. We thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Praise God. There's people who say, why do you do this? The hardships are almost insurmountable, and we're constantly suffering lack. We never have enough money. Our vehicles are always breaking down. We face opposition every place we go. Why do we do this? That's a great question. The Lord Jesus said, when he comes, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Will he find faith? Meaning, will there be anybody who is waiting expectantly for him? That's what he meant when he said that. Will there be faith on earth? Or will everyone be discouraged, as in the day that Jesus died on the cross and they all ran away, they all fled? That's what Jesus is talking about. And as we see the great difficulty in maintaining a testimony for Christ, you can see why people might be so discouraged that when the Lord came, there was nobody left that was filled with that love for God, waiting eagerly for him to come. And so, when the Lord says, will the Son of Man find faith on earth? God has put it in our hearts to believe that there will indeed be faith on earth when he comes, and that God will raise up for himself a group of people, many people, a multitude who will be prepared, who will be dressed, who will be waiting and ready and receive him with joy. Our mission and our desire is that there would be a great light, that there would be a great light all over the place of people who have devoted themselves to becoming the blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of the perverse generation. And our goal is that you would be part of that. That's our goal. That's our mission, is that you would be part of that wonderful and prepared group that actually does not shrink back when the Lord comes, when the bright light of the Savior comes upon this earth. Almost everyone will flee from the brightness of his coming. But there will be one group that will run toward the light. And that group is those who are prepared, who are eagerly anticipating his coming. Because the word says, for those who are eagerly anticipating his coming, there will be no mention of sin. All the shortcomings and the shortfalls that we have, they will be forgotten, because love covers a multitude of sins. And those who are eagerly waiting for Jesus to come and can't wait till he gets here, there will be no mention of sin. There will be no fear. There will be no shrinking back, because they have learned to love the Savior. So our goal and our mission is that you will be part of that blessed group that does not have to shrink or run. So God has given us a wonderful tool, and that is we have the Fellowship of the Unashamed Commitment. And those who have taken the Fellowship of the Unashamed Commitment, they are excelling in the things of God. They're excelling and they're doing well, and they're making good progress towards being in that spotless bride congregation. They're making the necessary steps, and God is pulling them toward himself. So what is the Fellowship of the Unashamed? Well, that's our ministry. That's the umbrella that everything that we do is under. That's our nonprofit religious organization. But one of the best tools that we have is a commitment, the fellowship commitment, which is to seek the Lord earnestly each day, and also to turn away from all of those things which distract us from God, all those things that pull us back into the world, to turn away from them, and to physically remove those things which are obstacles to our walk with Christ. And so our fellowship commitment is about actually literally removing our worldly entertainment and our worldly videos and our worldly games and our worldly pastimes, all these various things which come between us and God. There's a commitment to actually set them aside, which is the further we go, the more mandatory it becomes to us. When we started this commitment about 5 or 6 years ago, it seemed like a really good thing to do. But now that we've done it for 5 or 6 years, we have seen it is mandatory. Even without all the worldly influence, those who really want to be prepared for Jesus' coming, they can barely be prepared. Those who have not taken the appropriate steps and are still being bombarded by every worldly carnal influence, they, no way, they cannot be prepared. They can't. You cannot be clean while you have a sewage pipe that is pumping waste upon you. You can't. You can try to keep getting clean, but man, you're not going to get clean until you turn off the pipe. That's what our worldly entertainment looks like to God. It is filthy sewage. It is despicable to God. And He's calling His people and His children to turn it off, to get away, to get out from under the spout, so that they can be clean and become sweet-smelling and fragrant to God. And so we challenge people to take a year commitment to turn away from these things. It's voluntary, although, as I said, I think it's mandatory. And to spend that time seeking the Lord instead. And then after a year, of course, it's our hope that you'll continue as most of the people that we know have done. They've continued on because once you start tasting, once you start drinking living water instead of sewer sludge, well, the living water tastes really good. And it's hard to go back to the sludge. And so that's what it's like when we turn away from the things of this world and we begin spending our time in fellowship and the Word and in prayer. It's just like drinking crystal clear fountains of living water. And everything in this world becomes swill to us, so that God really spoils us. And that's the problem with those who get close to God and then they fall away. Nothing in the world can ever satisfy them anymore. They've just been spoiled because the presence of God is so rich and so sweet, and everything in the world is so empty after that. So the most pitiable people in the world are those who have once come to the fountain and then have been deceived into going back to the world. Now there is a truly miserable creature. And for anybody who's listening today that is one of those truly miserable creatures, I just want to extend God's grace to you and our fellowship to you to say, man, God, He will take you back. He is waiting for you to come back to Him. And this is the step that will cause you to walk uprightly before God. It's to take this commitment to turn away from the things of this world and to devote earnest time to the Lord each day. This is your victory. Now, I want you to know that the fellowship commitment says to turn away from worldly entertainment. It doesn't say turn away from secular entertainment. Why is that? Well, because worldly entertainment is a much broader term, and it also encompasses all the other forms of entertainment that we have. The term is worldly because worldliness has so infiltrated the church today. It has made so many inroads. And there is so much worldliness in our Christian entertainment, in our Christian music, in our Christian programs, in our Christian worship, and our Christian concerts. There is so much worldliness that not only have we become indistinguishable from the world, we in many ways outdo the world in worldliness. We're more worldly than the world, because we have ingested so much of this desire to look, act, and smell and talk like the world that we have become indistinguishable to God. We're the same. And that's why not only do I want you to turn away from secular music media, I want you to turn away from worldly Christian media as well, because it's not even hardly a half a step removed from the world. And just because it has Jesus' name on it does not mean that the Spirit of God is in it. No way. The things that go on in the arenas and the stadiums in the name of Christ are so contrary to the Spirit of God that the presence of the true God is not there. There is a spirit I will grant you, and there will be a great excitement and a great enthusiasm, and there will be lots of people who are really hyped up. But it is not the Spirit of God, because our God is an awesome and a holy God. And wherever the true living God is, there is purity, there is holiness, there is sweetness, there is beauty. The kingdom of God consists of all these things. And the music of heaven, the music of heaven is sweet, and it is melodious, and it is uplifting to our spirit. So God possesses these qualities, but the principality and the power of this world, the ruler of this world, wherever he goes, there is loudness and brashness and confusion and chaos. And all you have to do is pull up these things and compare them. Compare where the Spirit of God is, and then pull up a video of your favorite stadium concert. Or pull up a Christian concert in a stadium and pull up a secular concert in a stadium and tell me if you can find any distinction, because you can't. So don't drag God's good name into that, and don't believe that just because Jesus' name is plastered on it that it belongs to God. It is horrible to God, and it has no place in the kingdom of God, and it does not fit in heaven. It can't fit in heaven. That kind of thing isn't in heaven. Beauty is in heaven. God is a God of beauty. And so, weigh these things up, pray about each one, and ask God what to get rid of. If it smells like the world, throw it out. If it looks like the world, if the singers have black eyes and tattoos and piercing, if it looks like the world, it is the world. Throw it out. And as I've said before, I have nothing against people who have those things if they get saved while they're in it. And then God begins to clean them and to pull them out. They don't get saved and then they start getting all their tattoos and their piercings in their black makeup. That's not how the Spirit of God works. God takes us from filthiness and he makes us clean. He doesn't take clean kids and youth groups and turn them into heathens. That's not his way. And yet the leaders of all these groups, that's how they're leading these youth groups. They're leading them in the wrong direction. I don't want you to be part of that. I do not want you to be part of that. I want you to be cleansed by the Spirit of God. And I want you to become pure in your thoughts, pure in your heart and in your eyes. And I want you to be filled with the light of Christ. And so, get rid of your secular entertainment. Get rid of most of your Christian entertainment. Be very, very careful and pray about everything that you look at and you listen to that is Christian, and make sure the Spirit of the living God is in it. Because you see, this is how the church has always been corrupted. As we read in Revelation in the letter to the church at Thyatira, it talks about worldliness coming into the church and how and the leaders have made all these various things acceptable to the church, and how God is against them because they have not stood up against it. Because they have allowed the spirit of Jezebel to remain in the church, God's judgment was on them. Even those who didn't participate, but those who simply didn't do anything, sat back and didn't say anything. So God desires us to stand up, to stand up, to make a stand and say, that is not of God. And let me tell you, if you do that, you're going to be one in a million. You're going to be one in a million. You're going to be hated by everybody. If you stand up and you say, that's not God, I know God, and that's not what he looks like. That's not how God acts. That's not what he's like. I know him. For you who have read the Chronicles of Narnia, and we read in the last book about Tashland, a combination of the pagan god Tash and the Christian God Aslan, combining them together. Well, that's what we have today. This is the time of Tashlan, where we have combined paganism and put Jesus' good name on it. And so I want you to come out of that, and then I want you to stand up against it and say, no, that's not God. My God is good and holy and pure. I want you to become a soldier for Christ. I want you to become bold for the Lord. I want you to be unashamed of the gospel of Christ and willing to put your neck on the block to speak the truth. And this is how it begins. It begins by you personally becoming cleaned up. That's what this is. This is like getting a spiritual shower. Now, it's not easy to do these things. It's not easy. But you're not alone. You're not by yourself. God has raised up a group that's already doing it and that is here to encourage you. And those who are here today, they've already started that journey. So you're not by yourself. And so we encourage you to keep in touch with us, to just plug in for you who can. Come and join our Bible Institute. Come to the concerts. Make sure that you're on the mailing list so you're getting Seth's Bible studies. Make sure you're reading them. But just know that there are other people who have taken this stand. And so you have got a fellowship. You have a brotherhood and a sisterhood of others who are doing it, so you don't have to feel like you're isolated and the only one doing it, because the devil will try to really hammer you like that. So it is not by any means easy, but the rewards are intense. And let me just read some of the rewards. It says in Revelation, in the letters to the churches, in every case, the Lord clearly says that we have to overcome. We have to overcome. We have to overcome this world. We have to overcome the flesh. We have to overcome the devil. We have to stand up. We have to be different. We have to put aside our own personal comfort and our own personal tastes. I mean, nobody gives up anything in the world because they want to. They do it because of obedience. But for those who will obey, who will not participate in the immorality of this world, these are the benefits. The first church of Ephesus, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. The church at Smyrna, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. The church at Pergamum, to him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. To the church at Thyatira, he who overcomes, he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and I will give him the morning star. To the church of Sardis, he says, he who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white. I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who overcomes. We're talking about a very active participation in the gospel. This is not pew warming. This is not going through the motions of church. This is a very active following the Master. This is what happens to those who overcome. The church at Philadelphia, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He will not go out from it anymore. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. And to the church of Laodicea, he says, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And so, the rewards of overcoming are amazing, but there's always that prerequisite, he who overcomes. And this is the overcoming. And we do not love our life here. You want to know where we are on the prophetic clock? We all have our different end time theologies. Do you know where we are in the prophetic calendar? This is where we are. It says, in the last days, the great harlot will pour out her adulteries upon the earth, and that the earth will be drunk with the wine of the passion of her immorality. That's where we are today. The great harlot has poured out the wine of her immorality, and the world is intoxicated with the passions of the flesh and with violence. Intoxicated. The whole world is drunk on these things. For us to overcome, we have to not participate in her deeds. We have to come out. We have to be separate so that we can become blameless, innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a perverse generation. So I want to, I want you to do this. I want you to go to our website, theskies.org, and I want you to go to the Fellowship of the Unashamed Commitment, and I want you to print it off. And then I want you to go into the presence of witnesses, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I want you to sign it. And I want you to begin this journey of overcoming the world and overcoming the devil and overcoming the flesh and coming out so that we do not participate in the world's deeds, that we might not be liable for the wrath of God, which is coming upon all the earth. So I want you to do that. And then I want you to write to us or email us or call us. Let us know how you're doing. Tell us who you are so we can pray for you. And begin a great adventure. Then come up here whenever you can. For everybody who's listening today, we have our classes, but we are an open house. If you can come up for a week or a weekend or a couple of days, wherever you are, whoever you are, you just come up here. We'll make room for you. And join our fellowship here and be refreshed for a few days if you can. Definitely come up in the summer where we have devoted the whole summer to the edification of the body of Christ. Definitely make room for the Revival PEI meetings. So be in touch with us and press into the things of God. Okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, I pray for each of my brothers and sisters today that are listening, that you would quicken upon them these words and that you would accomplish a good work in them, Lord, and that when you come back, that you will see their light, Lord, that you will see the light on their face, Lord, and that their eyes would be full of joy at your coming, and that they will not shrink back, but they will run to you, Lord God. I pray for each precious one, Lord. Each one is so dear to you, and I pray that you would cause them to become that blameless bride of Christ that is prepared to meet you. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Indeed, we thank you for sharing this time with us. And please join us again next week. We're going to be on tour out to the Canadian Northwest for the next number of weeks. Please keep us in prayer. It's supposed to be exceedingly cool where we're going. And also, it's going to be very scattered. So just pray for us. I hope that our Sunday meetings don't get interrupted. If they do, just hold fast, listen to an old message. You know, if somehow we can't get these loaded, just listen to an old message. I can't promise we'll be uninterrupted in the next 4 weeks. So If we don't see you next week, we'll see you as soon as possible. All right? God bless you.